I want to welcome you watching online. You're a part of our online campus. There's people watching in Bloomington, around our area state, around the nation, and around the world. We're honored today. We have people watching in Indonesia, South Africa, Germany. And let's welcome them, please, as they're watching. Thank you so much for being a part. We love the online campus. And we're doing something different today. I get the privilege to tag team preach one of our staff members, Scott Wallace. And he and Sophie are awesome. And so I believe this is going to be a very practical message, a relevant message, and I believe it's going to help you. So I pray you receive it today. So let's welcome Scott one more time. Come on.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Sophie was supposed to be up here with me, and surprisingly, she suffered a crazy heart thing this last week. So I'm up here by myself. But thank you to everybody who's been there. We're going to be talking about how groups can support each other, and we've really felt the love of our church family this week. A little bit about myself. I'm a teacher here in town. I teach middle school. I've got a wife of 13 years and a five-year-old daughter, a one-year-old son. And, you know, we jumped into groups right away when we came to City in January of 2016 and never looked back. We've been members, leaders, coaches, and now administrators. So thank you.
Come on. He's killing it with the groups, and he and Sophie are awesome and a great part. And we're honored to have you today. As my wife mentioned, you know, if you're a guest, you know, thank you so much for being here. Everyone, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for watching at City Church. You know, we believe that you belong here. And I want to say welcome home. If we can connect with you and serve you, you know, you're welcomed here. Yeah. And we believe that the best is yet to come. And somehow, some way, God uses imperfect people, right?
That's right.
And he helps us all, you know, take our next steps. And so we're finishing our series entitled Circle Maker. And it's from the book entitled Circle Maker from one of my favorite authors, Mark Batterson. I would encourage you to get the book. The book's about prayer. And this month we had 21 days of prayer. It was phenomenal. We had an amazing refresh on Wednesday night. And we had people get water baptized and people touched by the Lord. It was powerful. And every weekend this month on Sunday, we've talked about prayer and relevant terms to our everyday life. And so today, we want to take that theme and really talk about a biblical principle of why there is power in a circle. Everyone just say that with me. There's power in a circle.
There's power in a circle.
Now, just think about this for a moment with me, and then I'm going to set this up, and then I'll ask Scott, and he'll share. Just think about it. We use phrases like this. Maybe you've said it, or you've heard people say, these are the circle of friends that I have. Or this is the circles that I run in. And I got to thinking about this message, you know, even in corporate America, most meetings are in some form of a circle. Our groups at City mostly are in a circle. Sports teams huddle up in a circle. Our wedding rings are circles. They are a sign of love and fidelity. And Scott reminded me, you know, several years ago, I think it was Sprint, and maybe some of you remember this, they offered for a while, if you had a circle within your circle of people, you could have unlimited calling. Remember that back in the day? Not so much, okay. I remember we have phones back in the day plugged in our walls, okay, and answer machines. But some of you don't know what that is, and Walkmans and Discman and all that. And it's funny how this idea of a circle when it comes to relationships is repeated over and over again. I think it's because, you know, for some reason, we intuitively know it's a posture, it's a position of power, of unity, of support that I believe can't be broken. I believe today we're going to show you from the scripture what God wants to do in giving us a circle where Jesus is involved. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, I thank you for this great group. I thank you, Lord, for this great church, and we're honored to be a part of it. I thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe in this room and as we leave. I pray that every one of us in this room and online would just lay down any resistance. We would set aside distractions, and we would receive freely from you today. May your kingdom come and your will be done. May our heart open up to what you have. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name, everyone said.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to please turn your Bibles, if you have it, or your phones to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If not, you can just follow me on the screen. And we're going to preach on three distinct points today. If you want to take notes, you can flip over your worship guide, and you can follow along if you want. We want to give you three distinct points to help you just think about, you know, this idea of the power of a circle in your life and how I believe God wants to use it. So notice what the Bible says in these verses. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now, I believe this, that God wants to do something in our lives. No matter where you're at in the journey of your faith, whether you've received Jesus or you haven't, or you're somewhere in the middle, I want to encourage you that you move forward today, that every one of us take a next step in our journey of faith today. And one of the parts of our faith that we cannot ignore and that we cannot get around is that God uses other people in our life to help us become, you know, better, to help us to be healed, and to help us draw close to Jesus. If you're like me, at times that's uncomfortable, because all of us in this room and online are responding even in this moment, believe it or not, based on what we've experienced from childhood on when it comes to relationships. We distrust, we push away, we open up, we don't open up, we're this and we're that, based on all the experiences we've been through. And yet Jesus has created relationships for us to do a couple things that's easier said than done. Think about this. Jesus has created relationships for us to love freely. How many are working on that still, loving freely? Especially Patriot fans and Purdue fans. We're working on that. Working on that. How about this one? He set relationships up that you and I in Jesus would forgive freely. How many are working on that one still? I love Andrew Luck. I'm forgiving him right now in the name of Jesus. No. God bless him. How about this? We accept freely. And we can accept people and not agree with them simultaneously. If you don't believe me, have kids. Amen. Then God has called us to mend freely. In other words, we help each other to mend. I want you to think about, as I'm saying this kind of in a decent pace, but think about the massive challenge that is. That you and I, through Jesus, would allow ourselves to love freely, forgive freely, accept freely, and mend freely. And we resist that because, like I mentioned, all of us have come through so many things that we're gun shy, from those experiences. And yet Jesus wants us to be healed, not perfect. He wants us to be healed so that we can enjoy the biblical principle that these verses and so many more lay out. So notice in verse 9 and 10, our first thought, it's simply connected. Please follow me and say connected.
Connected.
Now, all of us are connected to someone right now. All of us, for better or for worse. As we go through this message, I want you to think about who is in your circle of friends. What does your circles comprise of? Support, strength, encouragement, or belittling, temptation, anger, strife, jealousy, who knows what? And what God wants us to do in verse 9 and 10 is to be connected with other people. But notice why. Because he says here in the Bible that if one person falls, if they're by themselves, if they fall, maybe physically, but I think more so spiritually here, if they fall, how can they get back up? Or it's going to be harder to get back up. He says in verse 9 that two people can help each other succeed. So I know hard work, ingenuity, and self-discipline goes into personal success. But in truth, none of us will have success without other people in our lives. And the Bible gives us principles all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament of having people around us in our life. Our challenge is that when we get into a tough moment, or maybe we're embarrassed, maybe we're failing, maybe we're frustrated, maybe we're, whatever, that our temptation is to isolate from community or being connected. And God doesn't want us to isolate. God wants us to insulate with the right people. Because notice the scripture says that if we are together, we can succeed. And if we fall, we can get back up. Because other people are there to help us. But if we're alone and we're, slipping and falling, we're in real trouble. So notice the principle of God that really is counterculture of what you and I have, and this is proven as we're more connected by technology than ever before, but it's also proven we're more lonely than we've ever been as a society. So Jesus is wanting not just for us to come here, and this is a great atmosphere it is right now. What great worship. And we're going to have a great time afterwards here at the after party. But really, he wants us to allow him to impact the circles we're in so that we can be connected and really move forward in our faith. So Scott, I want to ask you, how are city groups set up to provide this connection with others to help people?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that something City is really known for is their openness, our welcoming. When people come here for the first time, like that's one of the things we hear over and over is everybody was so happy to see me and I really felt like I had a place. But you know, those conversations in the lobby really can only go so far. We even put some couches out there to give you more place to connect. But still, you know, it's in between services, people are moving. We really feel like once you go into a group, you go from being welcome to being known.
That's good.
And to us, that's a big difference. Now I have people that I can talk to out there, and we already have some common ground where we're starting from. And it's not always just, how are you? How was your week? Have a good week. Yeah. So I think that's important. We really think that there's two ways that groups here at City can help form those connections. One is through variety. We really try to eliminate all the barriers to joining a group. So maybe it's time or location. We have groups that meet every day of the week. We have groups that meet once a week, twice a month, once a month. If you're online, we even have an online group. You don't have to be in the room to be in one of our city groups.
That's awesome.
We really want to offer a variety. And some groups are focused around interests. So maybe food or basketball. Other groups are Bible studies. We have a Hebrew study that's going to happen this semester, and it's really popular. We have groups around life seasons, people coming together because maybe they are going through fostering or adopting. So we want to offer a variety of groups for everybody out there. Our challenge, we want every person to look at our groups and go, that's a group I could fit in.
Yeah.
The other thing is that we really take leadership training seriously. Mm-hmm. And every group leader has gone through a process of kind of learning how City does leadership.
Right.
And we really want those leaders to show at their members that we have respect for you, no matter who you are, where you're coming from, what pace you're moving at. And we have, my wife and I, we're totally opposite. I'm an extrovert. I love attention and talking to people, and she's the total opposite. But we both go to groups, and we both get what we need.
It's good.
And we're not pushed beyond where we can go. And the leaders are really in tune to that. So
yeah.
I want people to know, don't be afraid that the leader's going to put the spotlight on you, because that's not going to happen.
That's good.
Variety and respect are the two ways.
It's so good. How many love food? There's a foodie group. You just go out to eat. Come on, I love that group. Man, a running group for those that want to be healthy. Pray for the foodie group. No, just kidding. So we have all these groups to help us be connected, because really, if you think about this, as I said, all of us have a circle right now.
Yeah.
All of us are connected to people right now at some level. And really, Jesus wants us to be connected to his people. Now, please know this, at City, we're not perfect. No group is perfect. We don't come here for a perfect experience or to be perfect or to meet perfect people. That's not reality. Really, we're all broken people. Mm-hmm. And we're coming around a shared idea of Christ being the Savior and the healer. And so we can lay down pretense and connect with people like us. They may not look like us. We have 40 nationalities. Last time we counted, all types of ethnicities, different, generational ages and different economic statuses. And we may look different, but really we're the same. And we're dealing with similar stuff. And so when we're connected, we're empowered, as Scott said, to move forward. Now notice the next thought here in verse 11. Please follow me and say seasons.
Seasons.
Now, the Bible says in verse 11, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Now, we know the context we can immediately go to. And sometimes people have read these verses for weddings. We can read the context as a romantic connotation. And certainly that has its place. And we support and we want to, build up marriages here. Yeah. And we have great married couple groups. So sign up if that is your stage of life. But really, it can cross that. And so if you're married, and this is for you, if you're not married, maybe look around the room. You'll see someone maybe to interest you right now, maybe. At 9:30, I saw a guy just do this. He was just I was like, slow down, brother. You're going to hurt your neck. I have to pray for healing. Spazzing out all the way in the back. But, but more so, this is spiritual. Now, please stay with me. All of us have lived long enough that life hits all of us in the face. So I'm going to use this example, because in verse 11, he says, if we're with someone, we can stay warm. The good seasons of life represent this idea of sunshine, warmth, comfort, strength. Goals are being achieved. Things are happening. I pray that all of us have many, many experiences in those moments. But everyone in this room and online have also experienced cold moments where life leaves us shivering from loss, shivering from depression, anxiety, fear, financial trouble, physical trouble, marital trouble, parental trouble. On it goes. All of us have been there. And I believe the idea spiritually for us would be that when you and I have the right people, when we hit those cold moments, if you will, we don't have to let it lead us into disappointment in the sense of being overwhelmed by it. We don't have to isolate. We don't have to get bitter or holding a grudge. We can really have support and really move forward. And this is so important because if you're a seasoned Christ follower, you've gone through this. And really, it's our job that we love and forgive and move forward and let Jesus touch our heart continually. My best friend on Wednesday said this: the scriptures weren't made for us to have knowledge. The scriptures were made for us to have life change, to have a heart change, to have a living Jesus change us from the inside out. And where is the fabric of our life? And where does it really lie in? It lies in relationships. For better or for worse, the makeup of who we are, how we're responding, is coming from, really everything about us is coming from, you know, those relationships. And God wants to touch it. So in those cold moments, and we'll have them, we've had them and we'll have them, Jesus wants us to have the right people around us so we can be warm, if you will, move forward and be healed and not get cold and callous. Are you with me on that? And that's what Jesus wants us to have. So Scott, how have groups helped you in those moments, in those tough moments on a personal level?
In preparing for this message, you know, we were thinking about times that we've been supported in our groups, and then you're right, seasons come and they go, and you know, last Monday night, my wife had a heart attack here at church, 32 years old, just plunged into that winter, like immediately. So we were just reminded again of how groups and how people in our lives can be there to support us. But I'm going to talk about a few years ago, my wife and I decided we were going to grow our family and add a second baby. And we thought that was going to happen really easily. And we've learned that that doesn't always go the way we think it will. And so through that dark time of multiple miscarriages and just trying and grief, you know, we were surrounded by the people that we had connected to back in the summer season when things were going well and we were supporting them. Yeah. People reached out, you know, offering us rides, offering us food, offering us clothing, I mean, everything. You know, the groups circled around us and literally just begged us, how can we support you? You know, and for people who maybe are hesitant to ask for help, you know, it's hard to turn somebody away who's saying, I'm here, I'm helping. You know, and if we had not gotten connected, people wouldn't have known, or people wouldn't have known us. They wouldn't have known how they could help. And we probably would have felt, you know, bitter. You know, why is nobody helping us? We're going through this time. So, you know, there were the physical things, there were the emotional things, and then there were the spiritual things. We received words of hope and healing and prophecy from people that we were circling up with. You know, God was revealing himself to us through people, which is what he does, doesn't he? I think the big thing is that in that time of winter, it was marked by grief, for sure. But it was also, we were still able to find joy and keep joy from the enemy. You know, he saw that as an opportunity to steal joy from us. Yes. But instead, we used it, and the people around us used it to glorify God. Yes. And so, you know, in the end, we win. We get victory.
Come on, isn't that awesome? Love it. And today, you have a beautiful son.
Yes, we do. Amos.
Who's a year old, and God is blessed. It was funny. We went to the hospital the other day, and we were praying together. And a nurse walked up to us and said, are you brothers? I said, just because we're white and bald doesn't mean that we're brothers. But it's a compliment.
Yeah.
Compliment. We say this statement, and God moved in that prayer time.
He sure did, absolutely.
For Sophie. What's interesting is that we don't know we need community until we need community.
Amen.
So some today, maybe, and Scott knows this, some today are sitting here or watching and say, well, I'm good. Yeah, my life's good. Okay, this isn't for me. And I understand that. We don't believe that our life should be a constant, drama-filled situation. Who can bear that?
Yeah.
But it's good that we practice the power of a circle, not just when we're in drama,
yep,
but as a lifestyle. Just like it's good that we serve Jesus as a lifestyle, yeah, not when we're in emergency mode.
That's right.
We want to live for him because he gave his all for us. Now there's hard moments, I know that. But like we make a decision, like this is not just a cool thing to do, this is not a hip thing to do, this is what I decide to do because of who God is. Then when emergencies come, I have a foundation there. When I have a lifestyle of discovering the power of a circle, when winter comes, when his wife was leading a prayer meeting here at the church and she had a heart attack, they didn't have to, go running for something. It was here.
Yep.
And it was powerful.
Yep.
And it was what God set up because they put the time in. This is so important because notice in verse 12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This is powerful because notice, I believe that you and I can fight battles alone and we can win. Not necessarily will we be defeated every time. But I do believe that all of us will face an enemy that we can't defeat alone. I don't know what that's going to be for you. Maybe addiction. It may be a marital issue in your family. Maybe a depression issue, anxiety, who knows what. But all of us are going to face something that we can't do it alone. And the Bible says that when you are in the power of a circle, two can stand back to back, you can support one another, and you can overcome, and you can defeat that thing.
That's right.
And I've seen this in my life. I had an anger issue. I was filled with anger. I was living for God. I was a pastor, married, happily married. But my anger would hurt my wife because of my sharp words. I couldn't control myself. So finally, I went off on my father in front of my oldest son, in front of some of my family members. And I realized I came to an end to myself, that I couldn't beat anger by myself. I had to get connected to other people to overcome. This is a biblical principle. This is life. So I had to repent to him and repent to my family. Had to really open up my heart, face demons from my past, if you will. I went and saw a counselor. I had the right people in my life, the circle, and man, anger began to fall off of me. Now, there's moments,
amen,
that I struggle, but it doesn't control me. I control it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that happened because I came to an end of myself. I think about this, and I want to set Scott up on this. I remember I was in high school. I was playing basketball, and I remember when I could do a 360 dunk. And just kidding, I couldn't. And I remember 1 year we were 20-0, we were undefeated. And I remember we were playing a team and we were by 1 point. And I remember the coach gave us a play, we were on defense. And it was 10 seconds left and we went out and they threw the ball in. And me and another kid made a mistake and we guarded the same man. So we double teamed this guy, leaving a man wide open under the basket. So they throw the ball to him, 5, 4. He has a wide open layup. Our undefeated season is over. But there was a kid on our team that was stronger than me, better than me, ended up being a state champion and a national champion in college. He was 6'7", had over a 7-foot wingspan. He happened to be under the basket, and he jumped across the lane. And I swear, he was like a superhero, his arms stretched out. And he blocked it. Zero time on the clock. We went crazy. He ran off the court. His shorts fell down. We were going nuts because he was like a beanpole. And I realized on a spiritual sense, when I can't, but I have a team with me, someone else can. When I make a mistake, there's someone else there that can strengthen me and help me look better than what I am.
That's right.
Now, Jesus does all that, but he uses people in it.
That's right.
So why do we do groups at City, Scott, and how do they help us have victory?
Yeah, I think you've hit it on the head, PD. I think that we all tell ourselves we don't need more people, we don't need more support, that we're all okay. But like, you know, I learned this week, the bottom falls out, and you need people around you. You know, we threw the kids in the car with Pastor Nikki and Pastor Tony, and they just went away, and it was like we didn't have to worry about that. We just moved, we took her to the hospital. But not only that, it's not just having people around you. It's the fact that, like, when we have breakthrough and when we win, like, our praise to God is amplified.
Come on.
God receives the glory, not just from us, which is great. I like to think about, you know, our fragrance of our worship. Like, imagine if 10, 20, 50, hundreds of people are praising God for your victory. You know, what that must do to God. You know, eventually we did receive breakthrough, and we got pregnant with our son, and we were able to celebrate with so many people. And when he was born, he was everybody's, not just ours. And I know I've been talking about how we've received so much support, but I promise we've given support too. We've been in groups. That's the thing.
Come on, start giving, Scott.
You know, in the good times, we're there to support the other people that we've connected with. And, you know, we had other people had go through the infertility stuff. And we were able to say, like, we've actually been where you are. We know how hard today is going to be and what that can do for others. You know, I gave my car to a friend from Life Group for a week because they needed a car. And we were able to make it work. So our victories, you know, sometimes we pray to God, God, just take it away or work it out. And like, God sometimes does that through people. He sends you people. So like, you gotta actually connect to them. And you know, your prayers can be answered through people. So you need to be in a group to be supported or to be supportive. So I think the other thing to point out is that we can miss out on the blessings of God if we choose to isolate instead of insulate. And people have been telling us, you know, let us serve you. Let us give back to you. Don't rob us of the blessing of serving you
right.
when you're in your time of need.
Right.
And so that's why we do groups.
Isn't that powerful? Come on, let's give Jesus praise. Love it. In closing today, what's your next step? What do the circles in your life look like? Now, Scott and I believe this, and we do as a team, that we should have friends of all types of people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just don't have Christian friends. But the circle I'm in is people that are sharing faith with me.
Yeah.
And I can welcome new people in my circle. It's not us four no more. But we're connected in a spiritual sense. So we're not saying isolate from, you know, people that don't believe like you, but share a circle with someone that's going in the same direction, living for God. And so what's your next step? And I want to say this today. If you're our guest today, this is your very first time, or maybe just, you know, the third time, I mean, you've been here, or maybe you've been here for years and somewhere in the middle, and you would say to us today, you know, PD, groups are too much for me right now. I can't do it. I would say that's fine. We're not here to twist your arm and manipulate you. You're welcomed here. Again, you belong here. Welcome home. You don't have to be in a group to be here. You go at your pace, and you let God touch you. Show up next weekend and be here and just be around people. Get some great coffee, right? You know, have a good time. And just come be a part of a group bigger than yourself. That's okay. If you're ready for Build next month, Build helps you learn about the church. We want to learn about you. It helps you take your next step, again, at your pace. Maybe consider that next month if you find yourself in that place today. It's okay. You don't owe us anything. We're here for you. That may be your step. For others of you, you may be our guest today. You may have been here for years, maybe again in between. And you would say today, I am ready for a group. I am ready to take that step. I would encourage you today that before we leave, that everyone, no matter where you're at in this, go out and enjoy the after party. Get some ice cream, have some Coke, get your kids sugared up for you, send you home. It's going to be awesome this afternoon, I promise. But meet someone. For those of you that are ready, meet a couple group leaders. Sign up for a group. Give groups, one semester.
Yeah.
And see what happens. If a group doesn't work for you, you're like, man, this is kind of awkward, it's kind of weird, I don't like it, join a different group. We'll let you switch. But I want to encourage you to take a next step. But there's a place for everyone. And most of all, there's power in a circle for you.
That's right. Amen.
And Jesus loves you and he knows you and he wants to do great things in your life. And I believe that in Jesus and with other people, the best is yet to come. How many believe that today in Christ? I believe that. Amen. So let's stand to our feet. Please bow your head and bow your heart to heaven today in this moment. The greatest person to have in our circle is Jesus. He's the Savior. He's why we're here right now. That's it. So if you don't mind bowing your heart, bowing your head, just out of respect for everyone, you watching online, please bow your heart, bow your head, wherever you're watching from. And you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. That means you've never asked Christ, Jesus, to come into your life to forgive you of your sin and to be your Savior, your healer, your eternal King. You've never done that. And or you have done that, but in this moment, you're far from God. Now, both of those are mentioned in the Bible. Both of those positions are talked about in the Scriptures. And yet, Jesus is the remedy for both of them. And if you find yourself today, you've never received Christ, and or you have, but you're far from Him, today is your moment. And if you would say, you know what, PD, that's me. I'm in one of those places, and I want that to change right now in this moment. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless. So many people. Come on, the very back. I love it. So many people coming to Jesus today. Thank you so much. You can lower your hands. And others would say today, you know, Pastor Dave, whether I'm ready for a group or I'm not, you would say, man, I need the power of a circle in my life. I need to be connected. Maybe you're going through a cold season. Maybe you're being attacked with something and you know you need support. You know you need help at some level to take your next step. And you want that today. You want God to help you move forward and have the right people around you. And of course, have God on your side moving for you. If that's you today, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you all over this room today. Hands up all over. Thank you so much for following me. Anxiety and depression, God understands how you feel. And he'll bring people in your life that know exactly how you feel. For those that are dealing with maybe temptations of self-harm or ending your life because you're tormented, God knows how you feel and he'll send people in your life. For those that you feel like it's already gone, I've lost so much, God knows how you feel. Maybe some of you feel like you're on the mountain and you have all the success you've ever wanted. God knows how you feel. And he'll send people to you. Follow me in this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I give you all of me. I'm yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And may my circles reflect your heart. I give you every part of me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Let's give him a great clap of praise today. Just one more time. He's going to do it for us. I'm going to ask the prayer team to join me here. Come up, prayer team, if you don't mind. And here's what we do. Before we're going to have a great time outside, we're going to have response to God. We do this every weekend at every worship experience. It's where we give you a chance to respond to God. The band's going to come out here, and they're going to lead us in a great worship song. I encourage you to worship with them, please. If you receive Jesus, please come down. Let us help you take your next step. If you have a prayer request about anything, please come down and receive prayer. We believe great things happen when we pray together. You can worship with the band. You can take communion as it's provided along the side walls. You can sit in your seat. But during these next, I would say, 3 to 4 minutes, respond to God in your own way. Let it connect to you. Then I'll greet you in the lobby, and we'll have a great time outside. And I believe we'll have a great week. So may the Lord bless you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. May He be good to you. And may the Lord give you peace. And for this message, may all of us experience the power of a circle. And may Jesus be in the middle of it. And may our lives be better for it. In Jesus' name, let's respond to God today.